All right. So the New York Times has a piece out that, and the Washington Post as well, talking about a different path to victory with Kamala Harris. And it's all about the electoral votes. You got to keep that in mind, right? So before, when it was former president, when it was President Biden running and he collapsed, there was a pretty clear path from President Trump to get to 270. But now it's back to where it was before the Biden collapse, where you're looking at Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia. And according to the New York Times, they think that, and I guess the Washington Post is involved in this as well with a different kind of poll that they did. They're saying, okay, now they're telling me that Andy is here. 6:15 now. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Good morning. Having some computer problems this morning.
That's all right. No worries.
Too much security.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly right. Except there is no security. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about former President Trump's news conference yesterday. I was saying I was on the elliptical yesterday. Back in the day, I probably could have stayed on long enough for the entire press conference, but not now because that went on for quite some time. What struck me was I wonder who he's talking to, because Corey Lewandowski is back on the campaign. He tweets
like a New Hampshire boy.
Yeah, he tweets let Trump be Trump, which I get. But if Trump is Trump, that's going to appeal to his base, which is not going to leave him no matter what. He could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue, and they're not going to leave him. So who was that press conference designed for? And if Trump is Trump, can he get the undecideds or the independents? And then that goes to what I was talking about before you joined us, which is the path to 270 electoral votes. Thoughts on all that?
Yeah. So the press conference yesterday, first I would say it's August. It's going to be forgotten and there'll be something else that comes up. But I think what you're seeing with that press conference is there's been a drip, drip, drip of underwhelming performances by Trump that are causing certainly the media to question his ability to deliver a message, but also I think some of his own supporters. So the polling numbers that you're seeing, and I'm a pollster and I'm dubious about polls in the summer, they're either showing one of two things, either showing some actual movement to Harris, or they're showing that Trump supporters don't want to publicly say they're Trump supporters anymore and aren't willing to talk to pollsters. So when he's doing this press conference yesterday, he was trying to talk to his base, because some of the stuff that he was saying and going on about him, saying, why are you bothering with this stuff?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But is that an indication that his base is getting soft and won't show up? Because it's not they're going to go over and vote for Harris. They just might not show up.
Compare and contrast what happened with Obama in 2012. Is there, what was it, 20? Yeah, that was his first year, right? No, 2008. I get confused because I had some divorce trouble in 2012. And anyway, 2008, 2008 was the first time. Is there any comparison to what's going on now between Kamala Harris and him?
It's a little hard to say, because I think with Harris, she's not only a fresh face, but not as fresh as Obama. And also she kind of got put in at the end. And I think that the big difference is that in 2024, there was just a lot of depression among Democrats until Biden left. And then it was like a big sigh of relief. And whoever was going to be the replacement for Biden was going to get this sort of a bounce. But she's like Obama in that she's kind of a blank slate that I think a lot of Democrats are putting all of their hopes in, but they really don't know what that slate has written on it already. And thinking about the press conference yesterday, that's not really something that Trump has done a job of trying to write on that slate and fill it in. He's kind of writing all over it in scribbles.
So what I'm thinking is, when it comes to the strategy for the Democrats, Trump being Trump and talking about the independents, and then after the break, we'll take in a couple of minutes here, we'll talk about the Rust Belt and the different ways that, or the Sun Belt and the different paths to 270 electoral votes. I'm just wondering if the Democrats would play rope-a-dope, where it's just, well, yeah, you let Trump be Trump. We don't really have to say a whole lot about anything because the independents are going to be turned off by Trump being Trump, and they'll either vote for us or his base won't go out. I don't understand how that all plays out. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think that they, right now, they're the best position is to just not say anything. Harris is on a roll. It's summertime, and just let Trump continue to say and perform like he did yesterday. It's not going to probably get them a whole lot of votes, but what it'll prevent him from gaining those votes that he needs to get.
And as long as what you're doing is working, why would you? And I know she's not doing interviews and everything else, and I'm not saying she shouldn't. I'm just talking about campaign strategy here. If it's working, why mess with it for now, right?
Hey, it's kind of the way that Biden got through the 2020 campaign. Just don't put him out to have to talk to anybody. And if you then you can let the media take care of that. You can let your campaign advertisement take care of it, and you can let your opponent take care of some of those things, too, to help you.
He is who he is. He's not going to change. And I think that was on
That's
display
true.
Yesterday. Agree?
I agree. He is definitely not going to change. I think that but the letting Trump be Trump is probably not a really good strategy. It didn't work so well in 2020.
You read my mind, Andy, because that was the next question. It's like, I understand that maybe you say that because he's going to be Trump anyway, and you're not going to change it, but is that really the most effective strategy? And I know the people that love him and his base say, yeah, absolutely let Trump be Trump. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the paths to victory in 270 votes, and we all get caught up in the presidential campaign. But then on election night, we realize, oh, wait a minute, hang on a second, it's not about who likes who. It's about those electoral votes and who gets the 270 first. We're talking to Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, our friend, getting the latest on the presidential race. 6:20, time for traffic now, WWL. 6:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I don't know if you saw any of former President Trump's press conference yesterday. I don't know if anybody carried it, but Fox, I wasn't flipping around or anything, but Andy Smith's our guest, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, and is a Lord knows how many presidential campaigns we've been through with him now. But Andy, we get texts here from people all riled up about Trump, all riled up about Harris, for and against either one. But Louisiana is solid red. And former President Trump's going to get the electoral votes, barring some kind of, I don't know what, I'm trying to think of the word, a superlative that I can think of that would... So some kind of seismic shift that would force Louisiana or somehow change Louisiana from being solid red for Trump. But while everybody gets all worked up, it comes down to Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia. Accurate?
I think pretty much. It's pretty much the same states that were there last time. See, people don't change their minds very much in elections. It's usually the underlying demographic or political demographic profile of the various states. And the states that you just read off are ones that are pretty evenly divided between Democrats and Republicans over the last several cycles of the presidential elections. So those are the states that it's going to make a difference. And that's the states where the campaigns themselves are going to spend the money. So in Louisiana, you're probably not going to see much about a presidential campaign. There's not going to be any money spent on it because they don't need to. But in the other states, you will. Even in New Hampshire, where we've typically been in a pretty much of a battleground state, we're not seeing much in the way of presidential campaigning here at all either, because I think both campaigns have decided that New Hampshire is going to go Democratic. So those states are really where it matters. We're not seeing the campaigning that's going on in the state that really counts, which right now is identifying who all your voters are, making lists of those people, directing information to them in multiple ways, and then on election day, making sure that you can get those people to the polls. And that's really kind of the ground game or the offensive line of those campaigns. And that's not going to really show up in the polls until later on. That's why I'm still, I'm not as concerned about what polls are showing right now. When polls are really going to be more meaningful, it's going to come into, say, October. But it's going to be a matter of where those ground games are, what they're actually doing to identify voters.
So the Washington Post has a story out that says, model showing that for Trump to win the White House, he needs to win both the Rust and the Sun Belt. But for Harris, she would win by taking just one of those two paths. as far as you know, is that accurate or not?
Well, they're basing on that on current polling. So with that as a big caveat, but let's say that current polling is accurate. I'd say that's probably an accurate reflection because Trump was leading in all of those battleground states or close to leading in all those battleground states 2 weeks ago before Harris got in. That doesn't mean they're going to go back, but that's, I think, probably an accurate reflection of the current state of the race if you're going to rely on polling as the indicators of what actually is happening on the ground. Again, I'm dubious about that, but I think that's probably accurate if you start with those premises.
I saw a tweet from Frank Luntz, a Republican pollster, saying that from his numbers, and again, it's very early, and you can do whatever you want with polls as of August 16th, but that he was saying that, and that's what got me to thinking about, could this be Obama in 08? Because he was talking about the Senate and the House falling as well, or going to the Senate remaining in the Democrats' control, the House going to the Democrats. What would have to happen with these electoral states or other states for that to happen?
Well, if Harris were to win those states, there's a much better chance that she's going to win the Senate and the House races in those states, and certainly the Senate races since those are statewide, but the House races in the close districts. Because what you're really seeing in this is not so much that, again, that people are switching parties or switching candidates at the top. It's they're deciding whether or not they're going to show up. And that turnout is really going to be the key. And I think that's what Trump was able to win with in 2016, is that there were a lot of Democrats who just frankly weren't that enthusiastic about Hillary Clinton and stayed home. Not so much that Trump convinced them to vote for him. So watch the enthusiasm, watch the turnout.
I'm just laughing because he went after her yesterday, which kind of got me scratching my head. It's like, well, why?
Blast from the past.
Why are you bringing her up? Well, what has that got to do with this? All right, well, thank you, Andy. I appreciate your time. Andy Smith, Director of Surveys at the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Dr. Corey Hebert about slap cheek virus. Right now, time for WWL First News.